Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of the Vagabond Dilemma featuring my epic co-host, Rudy, and, well, me. Today, we're talking about a born winner with a resting bitch face, apparently. But he's also a hard worker, so, you know, let's give him a break. Let's get into it. Have a nice episode.
I actually did have an idea, but now I forgot it.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to an episode of the Vagabond Dilemma. It's your host, Rudy?
Yeah, but
and your co-host?
An idea.
Henry, say something.
But Rudy had an idea, and Rudy can't remember what the idea was. Now. Rudy's run dry. Henry has bled Rudy dry.
Rudy is a rat coward.
You see, people, what Rudy has to deal with? Rudy's actually a valiant warrior.
I hope Rudy falls down on the construction site he has to go through on the way to school.
Rudy is an adventurer. Somebody who risks his life willingly for content.
For content? What content do you make by going to fucking university?
Pain and suffering content. It's called drama, Henry. You wouldn't know. You don't watch good movies.
To who do you share this drama?
To audiences interested in my life.
Hey.
This is a nice way of saying I have OnlyFans account.
Sheesh.
Do you think I would earn a lot of money from my OnlyFans account?
Would anybody earn a lot of money from OnlyFans?
People live off it.
But not the average person.
I'm quite curious of, like, you know, these days there's a lot of jokes about just make OnlyFans for feet because people are into that or whatnot, right? How much can you actually earn if you have a feet OnlyFans?
If you have a good one, you could probably rake in a couple thousand a month.
Jesus Christ.
But, I mean, you have to keep in mind that if you want to, like, actually live off of it, you need to, like, be in the, like, top 0.1% at least. But as, like, a side job, it's probably not that bad.
That is not bad side hustle at all if it's a couple thousand. Jesus Christ.
So welcome to the... No, you know what? I'm not even going to say this.
Say it. Now
welcome
you have
to. No, it's too late. I won't. Welcome to the Vagabond Dilemma, the only show where we talk about exploring and explorers and what went wrong and what could have happened.
And as you already guessed it, today's episode is about feet.
Feet, yes. Where are my feet? Where are they? Where are they?
Did you lose your feet?
I can't find them.
Damn. Can't relate, though. But, you should call a doctor for that one.
I should. And yet...
Imagine the doctor's, like, the perspective. You just call, crying, bawling, like, please, I don't know what to do. Like, and the doctor's like, calm down. It's alright. Tell me where it hurts. And the guy just goes, I lost my feet! I can't find them! And the doctor's like, fucking God, Johnny. What drugs did you use now?
Yeah. Quickly, the hotline to the first psychiatrist, please.
It's like, if you know the... You know how, you know, doctors usually have somebody who answers for them and then they relay that person to the doctor if it's urgent enough? And
yes.
And then somebody's like, Dr. Herskins, there's somebody on the line about missing feet. And the doctor is just like, don't you fucking dare relay them to me. Don't you fucking dare.
Just say I'm out of office for today.
Yes. I don't want to deal with that shit. But Henry!
Rudy.
I must say, my well of creativity for this episode, almost, you almost got me. Almost ran dry. But I was like, there's no way, because this is an unofficial competition, but there's no way that I'll allow Henry to have a creative segment and me not have, because that's just a matter of pride. Because Henry always, every episode, delivers something. And then I was like, goddamn, I have to do something. And then... The irony of all this is my idea for today is actually yours, but I'm just going to incorporate it in my episode.
It's going to be Henry's Rocks?
No. So, for those who don't know, I've been part of a couple of quizzes recently, hosted by yours truly. Me and a couple of friends. I have participated in quizzes by the name of Gazebo Guesser, Nazebo Guesser, Neo Guessers. I have been part of Neo Guessers and Ego Guessers. And from that, the idea is that Henry just makes, well, it rhymes with EO or ends with EO, but it's the most random shit he just comes up with. And then based on his subjective scale, we earn points and win or lose whatever.
That's right. The origin of this is GeoGuessr, which is an actual, like, well-known browser game in which you get placed somewhere in Google Maps and have to guess where it is.
Right. And so the joke of it is, I'm going to take your idea, change it a bit, and stand on the moral high ground.
Oh, you're going to try to shit on my games, is what you're saying.
Well, I'm not going to try. I will succeed.
Interesting.
Because mine is actually not subjective. It's very interesting. It's scientifically based. And its subjectivity is only partial.
Okay.
So be aware that that's going to happen. So embrace the fact that you are going to eat massive shit throughout the episode.
Okay. Sorry, this is like an ongoing theme, this game?
And now the segment starts where I talk about my true love.
Italians. No.
Saying that, I petitioned that specific censorship, you use the patu.
If you send me the sound file.
I will, because then it's not even wrong. I fucking adore that sound. Insert it right here. That sound is, by the way, that sound is like what humanity should strive for. It represents everything that's good with us. Because it's so pure. And for those who don't know that sound, that sound is from Baby Grogu from the Mandalorian series of Star Wars universe, but wildly known as the Baby Yoda.
Patu.
I'm sorry, I kind of feel like I have had a monologue for the past 8 minutes because I see on the camera our boy Henry is literally going to sleep down right now. I would like some toe here, you know, some side hustle on the side of the conversation, but I can carry this. Listen, I've been talking to you, and it's just hard sometimes because I'm literally participating so far.
Like, I've been talking to you the entire time.
Gold shines the brightest.
Like, you're pretending like I'm sleeping, but in reality, I've been talking the entire time. I find this a very unfair accusation.
You see, he only starts talking when it's in spite of me. And that's why this podcast works. Because if Henry would do this podcast with anyone else, it would be just a monologue of that other person. Henry finds no incentive to exist in other state of mind, other just being my antimatter, my arch nemesis.
Right. You're saying this podcast works because you piss me off enough?
Yeah, and you piss me off.
What a combo.
And we love each other for that. Because it spires all the way around. On a good day.
On a good day, yeah. I think that's an important note.
All right. We haven't had a single good day, you know what?
Alright, are we getting into it? Or what's the deal?
Well, actually, I was hoping you will help me stall, because the story of the guy is like nothing at all. But
okay.
It's fine. No, it's fine.
Let's stall.
I can carry. So today we're going to talk about...
I'm stalling.
Today we're going to talk about my non-existent love life. No, fucking... Now I got his attention.
So true. Such a good topic. All right. Hey,
Charles
Rudy.
W. Chip.
Who?
Charles W. Chip. By the way, guess what is the W in that name? It's a
Winston.
Name I don't even know people like name people at.
Well, my guess was Winston.
It's Winnan. As in W-I-N-A-N.
Winnan?
Winnan.
Okay.
So Charles Winnan's Chip.
Stay Winnan, Charles.
No, you didn't. Actually, as you will find out, he's quite quite a hustly boy, but true to our podcast, he stayed very humble.
Ooh. So I love humble people.
Yeah, we all.
Sorry, just wanted to add.
So he was born in August 23rd, 1848, Kingston, New York.
Uh-huh.
Full name, Charles Winans Chip. And he, throughout his lifetime, became a United States Navy officer.
Oh.
He educated himself at the United States Naval Academy in Newport, Rhode Island, and Annapolis, Maryland. Although I suppose the second one was because what the fuck can you do on Rhode Island? All the things I hear about Rhode Island is like it's the most boring place on earth.
It's just a small state. I don't think it's that bad. It's just small. It's just small.
Wait! Wait! What? Rhode Island is a state?
Rhode Island is a state, and it's not an island, so...
No, wait, but then what is it?
Then what is what?
I might be... What? Rhode Island is an actual state?
There's a state.
How small is it?
It's pretty small, but it's not the smallest. It's next to Connecticut, which is also small. I don't know, I don't really have an accurate, like, immediate, off the top of my head, like, comparison.
Because I'm just so baffled. I thought Rhode Island... Oh no, you're right. You're right.
I'm right. Sorry.
Who the fuck names a city by the name of Providence?
I don't think it's that bad. What's wrong with Providence?
New Haven, whatever. These American names just sometimes make me...
I mean, yeah, it's not the, like the...
You can hear me giggle very loudly right now. Insert Rudy giggle.
Is that a new stinger, or what do you want me to do with that?
I don't know.
Anyway, I don't know why they call it Rhode Island. Maybe one of these islands was called Rhode, and then they said, hey, look,
maybe
it's
they
the
rode
state now.
On the island.
It's a good point.
It's Gay Island.
Huh?
They do a lot of writing there. Anyhow, his colleagues and peers, so Charles, described him as always busy, yet very calm, collected, and rarely smiling. So he was basically somebody who just didn't, I guess, socially interact a lot, and mostly had a poker face, but he was also very diligent and productive. Good work ethic, basically. Everybody respected him. That's what I'm getting at. And there's not much to say about, I mean, it's just career steps. Yeah, pretty ordinary chap, naval officer, blah, 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 blah. So I'm going to name some years of what he did to get to the main expedition. But before we're going to go into the main expedition, there's a small side note that we're going to use. So, in 1871, he participates in the U.S.-Korean expedition. In 1873, aboard USS Juniata, he sailed to the coast of Greenland to search for the Arctic steamer USS Polaris. I did not research any of these further apart because we're going to take a lot of time in the game I made. So I'm going to try to save up time right here.
But, not 5 minutes ago you were begging me to stall.
Because
and now you're saying,
like,
oh, we have so
dramatic.
Much time on the game.
I like to keep you on your toes. And I succeeded.
No, you didn't. You're just a little bit of a weirdo right now, that's all.
Nope.
Yes?
After several other sips, Chip was ordered to San Francisco to serve aboard USS Jeannette.
Jeannette?
And as you already understood by now, he is yet another person we can add to our very extensive by now list of seafaring explorers, right? Vagabond Dilemma is... We are no strangers to sea exploring, especially to getting lost at sea. But, and we always talk about some funny things that happened on sea, but as somebody who has a specific kind of relationship with open ocean, I feel like I haven't talked enough about this, because I think I mentioned it, but I made a whole bit about this now. So, Henry, you know what one of my, like, I only have, like, one real phobia, I would say, right? Like, a big phobia.
Yeah.
Which is?
Thalassophobia.
Exactly. And for those who don't know, thalassophobia is identified by Wikipedia as the persistent and intense fear of deep bodies of water, such as the sea, oceans, or lakes. Phobia can include fear of being in deep bodies of water, fear of the vast emptiness of the sea, of sea waves, aquatic creatures, and of distance from land. And yes, so I have that, in a sense of you would never get me to swimming in ocean. Like, okay, I think where it stops for me is if I see the bottom of it, and if it's like, I don't know, rocks and sand, I have no, like, problem. I sound like grandma. No!
I have no problem
I have no swimming. Problem swimming there. I mean, like, I like swimming. I enjoy it a lot, actually.
Yes.
But, yeah, if I see, like, a lot of, like, if it's a lot of weeds where something could potentially hide, or it's just a blue abyss, hell nah, you could pay me, you could, I don't know, actually that would be preferable, I was gonna say you could threaten to kill Henry, and I would have been like, yeah, I could do it. Well, anyhow, and then I was
what
thinking,
the fuck?
I have a lot of thoughts, as your average person do, right?
Right.
And at some point, I was trying to pinpoint, is it that I'm afraid of ocean, like vast? Or is it that I'm afraid of just abyss itself, like something endless, right? Because I am fascinated by ocean. I am fascinated. I watch a lot of documentaries. For those who haven't seen Blue Planet, both seasons, by David Attenborough, please do so. It's really good. I'm also fascinated by space. And space is also endless and vast, right?
Yes.
And so I did a little bit of research. There is such a thing called spaceophobia, or cosmophobia, or even astrophobia, which is the fear of outer space, its emptiness or darkness, for some vastness. Here we come to a very... I'm actually proud of the game I made. So very giddy.
Okay.
So what Henry usually does for me is he shows me pictures, and then he tries to make me guess things, come up with things and whatnot. Now, today, what I'm going to do is I'm going to send in this chat now a file of that contains five audio samples, and they are clipped and filtered, so the only thing you will have to do is add them into the episode. There's not a lot of editing.
No, he's making me edit the podcast.
And let's see if this...
You have to do a brief edit here, so this is just me announcing that I'm making a cut. And we're right back to it.
I'm not gonna edit it out. We're back already.
What? You weasel! I completely broke the character!
Exactly. We got his ass, people.
Oh, you...
I'll edit it partially, but I'll put this part in, so no need to...
Anyhow, the game will be...
Henry.
So, I have... don't listen to the audio files right now. You will
Too
open
late.
Them... No, don't... Did you actually listen?
I listened to the part two.
Oh, okay, Jesus Christ. So, don't listen to the one that are named 1, 2, 3, 5, 4. The idea is that they're gonna be... I have clipped specific recordings, actual real recordings of audios. And you have to guess, first of all, we can do this in a... You can choose how to play this. The first version is... You, at once, try to guess, is this a sound from outer space or underwater? And from what source it is? Like, what are you hearing? Or you can do that, first of all, you try to guess if it's underwater or outer space. I tell you the answer, and then you try to guess from what source. So, whichever you choose.
I prefer the second one, because I think that makes more sense.
Okay, so then I am going to pull it up for myself up right now so I can listen with you so I remember what are you actually hearing on your end. And whenever you're ready, open sound numero uno.
Okay, here we go. This is supposed to be kind of soft, right?
Yes. Some of these audio files are, they're even after filtering, they like I for this first one, I guess you, it's not very loud per se, but it's very soft, yes.
Okay, so just as an editing note for everybody listening, I will put the sounds in, so I will try to make them like hearable, but I can't promise anything, so we'll just try. That sounds like underwater.
I mean, you're absolutely right. It is underwater. So there's the, if you're counting points, but you're the only one playing, if you're counting points, there's a point for you.
It had like that water sound vibe to it, you know? Yeah, no.
Fair. What do you think that is?
I'm going to guess the obvious, because I think for the first one, you're going to give me a bit of an easy one, a bit of a doozy. And I will guess it's a whale.
Well, you're absolutely wrong on that one.
Well, shit.
Oh, I know how to play this competitively. Every time you guess right, I give you a point. Every time you guess wrong, I minus a point. And if at the end you're at least at a zero, you're a winner.
Okay.
So now you're at a zero.
Okay.
So, by the way, bear in mind, because I maybe should have said this before, but all of these that I've chosen, you have five audio files. All of these are not, let's say, the most... If people know something about how underwater sounds sound, and then if you have listened to some outer space sounds or recordings or whatever, I tried to make this as hard as possible, and I also it's never gonna be like, I don't know, what you it shouldn't be an easy answer. There's a bit of a twist always. So what you heard now is infamously known as the Bloop. It's actually a very famous audio file, originating from 1979 by geoscientists. It was found using hydrophones, which is just underwater microphones, that were placed more than 3.219 kilometers apart. So it's like a part of 3,000 kilometers across the Pacific Ocean. And through all of these, they pick up this bloop, right? And in the file you heard, doesn't sound very loud. The vastness of this is that in reality it's a very, very, very loud sound across the whole of Pacific Ocean, basically. It was recorded numerous times, and in layman terms, not even a blue whale, which is the largest underwater creature known to mankind, can produce such a loud noise. So, for a couple of, like a decade basically almost, it was unknown what the fuck this was, and only in 2005 did they finally discover that the sound was that of an ice quake, which was an iceberg cracking and breaking away from Antarctic glacier.
Oh, interesting.
And it was so loud, the whole cracking was, like, you can imagine how vast is the Pacific Ocean. And you can hear it through all of it.
Yeah.
Imagine being a whale. Whales, you know, all fish, they, like, whoever communicates, have language, they do it so at specific frequencies, right? Yes. And imagine they probably have very sensitive ears towards those frequencies, and then just fucking imagine you're just chilling there for them just swimming around, and suddenly you're like, you're like, what the fuck? Henry, did you hear that?
All right. Sound two?
Sound two, go!
I will say outer space.
I should probably, maybe for those who can't, because I just figured maybe... Because I feel like in headphones this is very, like, if you increase the volume it's very, you know, noticeable as a sound. But maybe without headphones, it's not as prominent. So I'm just gonna, from now on, say that the sound that Henry just heard is kind of a repeating signal. Let's put it that way, like a pulse, basically, right? And his guess is outer space, which is wrong. It's underwater. So he's now at minus one. What do you think that is?
I think you're a rat, first of all. I really do. Like, I cannot understate this. And I think the sound, it sounds like a signaling thing. Like a boy that's like, ooh, you know. Yeah, no. What more?
No, we're time. Come up with an idea.
How are you? This is a normal answer, and you're gonna flame me for time? Nah.
Okay, do you want to hear the actual answer?
Yes.
You're now minus 2 points, by the way.
Fuck off.
It's what it is believed is what it's called is the 52 Hz whale. But here's the idea, because so it's also infamously known, also referred as the 52 Blue, is an believed to be individual whale of unidentified species that calls at a frequency of 52 Hz. And why is this unusual? Because this call has been recorded over and over again. The whale's migration patterns are also known, right? And it's been recorded since like 1980s or something like that. And whales live basically human lifespans, so obviously. And so they can pinpoint our like the approximate location by the sounds where the whale is. So the migration patterns are also known. And they closely resemble that of either a blue whale, which usually talks within the frequencies of 10 to 39 hertz, or a fin whale, which is usually at 20 hertz. And it is believed that this is an individual who just happened to have a sort of a disability with the vocal cords, thus the 52 hertz. So, in other words, for the longest time, it was referred to as the world's loneliest whale. People have made pop culture references to him. I think there's even a small feature movie about him, like a small mockumentary. And yeah, it used to be quite a tragic story, but there's hope, because though since 2010, sporadically, a second call at the same frequency has been recorded in some parts of the world. So there might be hope that our boy is not lonely anymore.
Sheesh.
Well, sheesh indeed. Right.
That's nice.
Let's go on to the audio numero tres. Listen to all of it. It's quite a long one.
It is. I will go ocean again on this one.
You're wrong again. Yeah, -3. It's in the cosmos, coming from outer space.
This sounds like an alien that's hidden behind the moon that's trying to scare you a little bit. Doing like,
I like that idea actually so much. Fucking just small dude just being like, and then fucking people on the moon, like the moon landing was like, oh my fucking god, get back to the shuttle, get back to the shuttle, people!
Exactly.
No, this is what was widely referred to as black hole quote-unquote eating. So, sound
damn,
is recorded
like me, for real.
Coming out of Perseus galaxy cluster. Pressure waves sent out by the black hole caused ripples in the cluster's hot gas, which can be translated into a note. It is also a nice example against the common misconception that no sound can travel in space. While it's mostly true due to vacuum, in places like these where there is enough matter floating around, sound can definitely exist, just maybe not in the way we humans perceive. So what it basically is pressure waves sent out, because when black holes suck in energy, some of it they kind of like just whirl around with gravity and whatnot, and from those pressure waves you can translate those frequencies to a note, and then this sound is the black hole just sucking in matter. Okay, let's
so
go
it's the,
to four.
That sound was the black hole eating well, essentially.
Yes.
Being healthy. Alright, sound four. Sounded kind of windy.
Yeah, honestly, I also thought the same when I first heard it. So it's basically, it's like as if a signal, like a siren, would go off somewhere, and there was like, woo, woo, woo.
I will go space.
Well, it's underwater. If you guys could see Henry's face right now, What do you think that is? Don't know is also a valid answer. I'm just going to...
It also sounded like the little radioactive ticking, so I'm going to say this is a nuclear site and a goldfish evolved a little bit in the wrong way.
Jesus Christ. Okay, so this is... You will hear your answer in my answer. So it is called upsweep, and it's a sound underwater, also recorded since 1991 in the mostly Pacific Ocean. And it's been recorded on seasonal basis since that year, over and over again, and can be heard all across the Pacific Ocean, generally reaching peaks in spring and fall. The sound origin can be located roughly 54 degrees south, 140 west, near a location of volcanic activity. However, its true origin, till this day, remains unknown. If you look up, because all of these sounds, by the way, all these files or whatever, there's a list of... used to be unknown or unknown audio files gathered from under the ocean. There's a specific website for that, for the, I don't even know, I think it's US based, some kind of research thing. And it even there says, like, they have no idea what this is.
That if they don't know what this is, then I'm right.
Technically, it could be, so you know what? You are at -3.
Thank you. The nuclear goldfish sends his regards.
And now to my personal favorite one, last one, numero 5.
This just sounds like a helicopter, I'm gonna be real.
Yeah, it's a very interesting sound for something to be either underwater or in space.
I'm going to go with space, just because this is a bit of a meta guess, to be fair.
You'd be absolutely right.
And I'm going to say this is world's first helicopter in space.
It's a fucking, the guy, the one, the same alien who was hiding behind the moon, going the ooh, now he's just clapping on the moon side like...
That's a good theory.
No, it is believed to be a pulsar. Do you know what a pulsar is?
Is that a type of star?
Yes, it's a rotating neutron star. It's basically a hot, 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 very dense white ball emitting two laser beams from its buttocks and forehead and just spinning around like, you know, call on me, just vibes there. And yeah, so it's a rotating neutron star oscillating with various modes or quote-unquote tones. These sounds are a translation from a frequency measured from, well, Doppler shift, but it says nothing to you, of its surface. Its phase shift, basically. The wobbling occurs at a specific frequency, which can be interpreted as a sound. So this is not a sound you would actually hear, but it's just vibration frequencies translated into a sound.
Okay.
So,
that space shit, you know.
And I wanted, okay. Now we have reached the end of my quiz, but for those interested, I made this quiz in a sense of I tried to get the sounds that would sound somewhat the same, because these are by far not the most interesting sounds I did find when I was researching for this. So I highly recommend, for those interested, I'm going to read you a couple of prompts for you to maybe Google or put in YouTube, which are far more interesting than the sounds you hear here, and far more fascinating. So you could look up Jupiter's birds, you could look up Saturn's lightning strikes, or Jupiter's magnetic field, or NOC beluga whale. If you Google any of these, I'm not going to spoil what it is, but I find them to be very fascinating. First of all, sounds, and some of them are to be very, very creepy.
Okay, and if you respect fair play and want players like me to have, like, a better experience playing these bullshit-ass rule-less games, then don't listen to what Rudy said, and instead donate to your favorite charity. Thank you. And by the way, that charity better be me. Yeah.
Okay, cringe baby loser. Let's go now. And by the way, this was prom because, well... I'm gonna be like, even for the sounds you just heard, if I would just stick my head into the ocean and hear any of this, I would be like, hell nah. Hell to the fucking nah.
So what if you walk outside and you hear these sounds?
Because walking outside, it could be a just human, like, you know, doing a noise, or like a helicopter or whatever, everything that I'm used to. But we don't live under the water for a reason.
You really, you walk outside, okay, somewhere around the corner, okay, just like, ooh, now, ooh.
Listen, you hear a helicopter when you go outside, you're like, okay, it's a helicopter, whatever. If you would be, let's say, under the ocean, like half a kilometer, just, I don't know, in a submarine, and then you hear it, you have a completely different sense of reality. You're like, what the fuck?
I would think it's a helicopter still. I don't know. Maybe that makes me the village idiot, but...
Your dunce is who you are. Jeanette Expedition is where we left our boy Chip.
I think we're running very late, by the way, so I don't
know
what we're
gonna
do
about that.
It's good.
I honestly don't mind us not doing as much improv. I really liked this quiz, and I hope you enjoyed it too.
It was a good quiz.
So the Jeanette Expedition was on July 8th, 1879. Jeanette stood out to sea through the Golden Gate at San Francisco on her voyage of exploration. Its purpose was to attempt sailing to the North Pole via the Bering Strait. On August 27th, 1879, Jeanette reached St. Lawrence Bay, Siberia, and from there headed into Chukchi Sea. However, the ship then became trapped in the pack of ice. I mean, it's, I feel like every single guy who goes up there in the north, every single time we in this podcast is like, yep, trapped in ice.
At some point you just bring, like, I don't know,
a fan at least to heat it.
Yeah, or a match.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, honestly.
I don't know.
Like, just get good.
For real. I feel like it's like how can so many people run into this shit? Like, sorry, but like, do something about it.
It's fucking idiots, honestly. Village idiots,
at
right there.
At some point, you really can't be dying like this anymore. I'm sorry.
Well, here's the thing. Maybe you're gonna be more lenient to these people because, okay, they yes, Big L, ship became trapped in a pack of ice near Wrangel Island in June 1881. Got crushed and sank. Actually, the crew though trudged across the rough ice to open waters, where they set out in three small boats, one of which was commanded by Chip. On September 12th, 1881, although in my notes it's considered as 18,881, the boats were separated in a storm, and Lieutenant Chip's boat, with seven other men aboard, was never seen again.
So what's the deal with these people that are setting off with an expedition, but somehow they don't return? But the other crewmates always do. They just make it.
I'm starting to think that maybe these people... This is such a, like, retroactive statement. Because only these kind of people would end up on our podcast. Of course, we're going to talk about them. And now you're like, so what's with these people we make with these
That's
podcasts?
True. Because if the random crew died, they wouldn't be on the pod.
Exactly. Like, we wouldn't make a podcast about a crew that just fucking returned and that's it.
Still,
my boy,
El
literally,
Captain-ing.
Episode 32, Henry starts questioning, what the fuck up with these idiots?
Okay, wait, you said they got stuck in ice, right?
No, it actually, they went to Charlie and the Chocolate Factory and they sank.
Okay, come on, alright, listen, rat, let's get real in here, no more fucking around. You said they went up to the Bering Strait, was it?
Yeah,
got stuck in ice.
Yeah.
Well, I know exactly what happened to steal your little catchphrase.
Bitch, I stole his quiz, he stole my catchphrase.
Alright, let me
bring
up my own catchphrase. No, I'm gonna like invent the catchphrase on the spot. Well, Rudy, I know exactly how the chocolate dropped.
Oh,
I don't know what that means.
Life is a box of chocolates. You never know what you're gonna get.
Up to the Bering Strait, and believe it or not, it was summer, so they were actually smart enough to avoid the ice. But what happens is they go into the Bering Strait, and suddenly a mythical monster appears and says, "Hear ye, hear ye. If you want to pass, you must play this weird quiz that I have compiled of ocean or space sounds. And if you lose, you may not pass.
By
and you
the
also
way,
may
people,
not return."
For reference, this is exactly how my face ended up on Ego Guesser, which was a fucking quiz about guessing from this point of, like, Like, how big is somebody's ego? And I only ended up there, me with somebody else included, because we refused to play one other of Henry's quizzes, which you had no knowledge of to play to begin with.
Right.
It was a fucking, anyway. For those who don't care, Geodude Guesser, which is that stupid Pokemon, which I heard for the first time in that quiz. And then we were like, Henry, we don't know who that is. And Henry just got pissed and was like, okay, let's make an ego guesser. And you're fucking egos because you don't, like, have fun. And you're always like, oh, we can't play this because we don't know. And apparently that means you have a big ego.
Anyway, Charles and the crew, you know, stuck in the Bering Strait, forced to play weird quizzes. But Charles, you know, he looked the monster in the eye and said, I'm not called Charles Winner Chip for nothing. And thus, Charles, he kept doing quiz after quiz, but never got it right. And, you know, it eventually just became winter, and the ice surrounded him. And then the mythical monster said, I got you now, buddy. And then they were trying to flee on the little boats, but the monster brought up the tornadoes and the storm and said, you're not going anywhere.
Am I the monster? And
no,
are you,
it
Charles?
Was just a
this
random
is
the, monster.
This is what is it called? There's a morale to this story. There's a metaphor.
I guess the morales don't play weird quizzes.
it's I have trapped Henry, and I'm a monster that will make Henry disappear by the end of this episode.
No! Well, Rudy, do you have something, perhaps?
I actually... It's what happened is actually quite tragic. So what happened is, our Charles, our boy, never sank a ship in his life. And then this thing happens, gets trapped in ice. And he's there like, fucking shit. No. No. I won't let it end like this. But by the time he reaches this, what actually happened is, like, people just rode the ship, you know, whatever, dropped and sank to the ground because it was crushed by ice. In reality, what happened, the captain, who was not Chip, was like, this seems too much hassle, let's just walk home. Like, so they just say, like, and he was ashamed later on, so he didn't say that the ship actually survived, that they just left it, and he was, like, lazy, but they were just like, let's walk home. And Chip just, okay, I mean, I have to listen to the captain. They just walk aboard the three boats, and then at some point, Chip was like, no, I can't. But I don't also, I have my honor, I can't be a deserter. So I see that tornado, I'm just gonna pretend it's gonna sweep me away. In reality, he turns around, he goes to the ship. He's like, manhole! So it's eight together, right? Because it was him and seven other men. They stand
right
near the edges of the boat. And they start thinking, start tinkering, you know, like, how do we get this out? They tried locks, they tried, like you know, just push and heave. They try rope to just, like, pull it out. They tried for quite a long time, and they actually only succeeded in 1997, which is the first audio file you heard of the glacier splitting, because they finally got the ship out, and that's the bloop we hear. Because then finally, it's like that, what was it, the squirrel's name from Ice Age, which every Ice Age movie starts with that squirrel inserting an acorn, and then they're like the glacier just splitting the continents apart or something. This is the ship.
Yeah.
They finally got the ship out, and then the fucking continents of North Pole or whatever is like just in half.
I like the idea as well that, like, the tornado is coming, and then he's like play acting like, oh no, it's coming! What do we do? We're so stuck! We're gonna lose you guys!
I'm
no!
stuck, Step Bro! The tornado is blowing me away!
But guys, don't turn back, please, or you will get swept away as well. Just leave us be. We will make sure we survive.
True, 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 true. Or maybe Captain Nemo found him. You know Captain Nemo?
He's a captain, and his name is...
Do you not know the story of Ten that was 20,000 years under the sea?
You know, we've had this exact conversation in a previous episode, and...
Maybe by now you'll
culture,
I know.
No.
He's a dude who was a smart, who invented basically, at the time, the first submarine who can just perpetually just live underwater. Like, it's basically a fortress underwater. And his name is Captain Nemo, and his ship was Nautilus.
Nautilus?
And he was very secretive, so the story goes, I think, that he rescues somebody from a sinking ship, and then somebody, I think it was a scientist or something, And they go on these, like, adventures and journeys, and the scientist is all very, very amazed, but he's like, I can't live my life like this. I want to, like, you go get back to the mainland, get back to civilization. But Captain Nemo is like, you can't, because then you're going to, you know, expose me, and I don't want to, because I think he was a pirate initially or something like that. And then he basically just became a seafaring underwater, he just lives there. He doesn't do anything, but just lives, exists there. And I think the book ends with the scientists swimming for the shore at some point, like when they resurfaced or something. He like makes a run for it, but Captain Nemo kind of lets him go.
Based?
It's something like that. I read that story when I was like 12. It's very honestly hard to read if you're from, I think, my generation or younger. Because it was the fantasy book of our parents' age. But nowadays, reading it, it's not like a modern fantasy book. There's a lot, like, for example, there's a whole paragraph in there just describing what type of fish the scientist is seeing outside the window. And it's all myriad of colors, but it's all like, you know, the scientific names of them and whatnot. It makes a good picture, but to read that for like, you know, 10 pages, just that, it's kind of gets...
Yeah. It's tough for the attention span.
Yes, yes. But just to know the basic story, if you like, if you are a book lover, then you should.
Oh, so Charles was found and then it was like, nah, you can't go back up. You're going to have to hang out in here.
Real.
And that's just kind of it.
That's just kind of it.
Well, Rudy, shall we go to the resolution?
Yeah, sure. Resolution, this name named Legacy, because there's no resolution, never found. He's presumed dead. His death, because if you're going to look up, he has a death date, which is a presumed date of, and I believe is the day he was lost through in tornadoes, is the 12th of 1881. His legacy is that there's a Chip River in northern Alaska, named after him.
Okay.
And there's Chip Peak on Kuprianov Island.
Oh, now I remember. I remember looking at this guy's Wikipedia page a little bit as well, because this specific detail is something I remember.
There you go.
having a mountain named after him on, like, an Alaskan island. I don't know why I know that.
There you go.
All right. Well, thank you for listening, everybody. If you want to send us a message, you know, communication theory.
Inside jokes. We don't like inside jokes. You know, you have to explain it. You have to explain it.
It's in theory, you can communicate. That's kind of it. Anyway, if you want to send us a message... If you want to send us a message, please send us a message at thevagabonddilemma@gmail.com. So the entire name of the show @gmail.com. Or if you want to send a personalized message to Rudy, you can find him at 000RUDYS000. That's fucking right.
On Rudy, Instagram, first of all.
On Instagram? Yeah, on
this
Instagram.
This fucking bitch took the one thing that was sacred. I am a child of fucking Jesus.
Good.
And then this happens.
Good.
But I'm going to be the better person. I'm going to turn the other cheek.
You're never the better person, hey.
I'm a humble.
Stay losing. Call me Henry Winar Mize.
And on this cringe baby sour loser mode, we...
L take.
Listen.
No.
How about we add one more noise to this quiz? Let people guess if it's outer space or underwater. Either way, it's going to be really screamy because I launched you either deep underwater or deep in outer space to kill you.
Alright.
The game is guess how Henry died.
Thanks for listening, everybody. Goodbye.
Fuck off.